Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Lent to all of you. No, you're not used to hearing that. We don't say that. You know, we're used to Happy Easter, Merry Christmas. But Lent is, contrary to what we often think, is a happy season. Yes, it's somber, right? We've got the black. We're going to do the ashes. It's serious, but it's happy. Absolutely happy. Because Lent is all about turning to our Father. And He is happy when we turn to Him, and we are happy when we turn to Him. So Lent, absolutely, we don't want to get confused. It is a happy season. It's a season where we remember that our Lord is gracious and merciful and forgiving, and He loves us. So there's three things historically that Christians have done during the season of Lent to be turned to the Father, so that our hearts would be turned to Him, that we would have that joy of knowing His love and His forgiveness. And those three things that Christians have done, these practices are, one is fasting, one is prayer, and one is giving to those in need. Now this is odd for us, and I'm telling you it's odd for me, and I did a lot of studying on it and listening to other people talk about it, because it's part of our Lutheran culture is we don't do these things as much, and it's a shame. We tend to think, we hear about Catholics doing that. So they're the ones that they fast. They don't eat meat on Friday. They do the fish fries, right? Not us. But the truth is, this has really nothing to do with Catholics. This is a Christian thing. It goes back over 1,000 years in the church that these three things are ways that Christians during this season can turn their hearts to our Father in heaven. Okay, so these are good things. They're not bad things. And the ironic thing is, the gospel reading that we heard tonight from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, He tells us to do these three things: to pray, to fast, and to give to the needy. Now, like I said, this is funny. It's really odd, because what we have done is we've taken His words and we've actually taken them to think we shouldn't do them at all. Maybe that sounds like a bunch of confusing things, so I'm going to explain what I mean. Okay? This is what Jesus says. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. Right? Don't look all gloomy and sad so everybody will know you're fasting. And then He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't stand on the corner so everybody can see you. And then He says, when you give to the needy, don't sound a trumpet so that everybody's going to know you're giving to the needy. But see, what we've done is we've actually taken Him to say, oh, Jesus, so we shouldn't pray and fast and give to the needy. And that really is what we've done, because what we've done is we're like, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I'm just not going to do it at all. Right? I'm not going to fast. I'm not going to pray any more than I normally do. I'm not going to give to the needy because I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, I don't want other people to see me doing it and they think I'm trying to be some great Christian. But I hope you'll see this is really a sad thing. Because in the gospel ring, Jesus is not telling you, don't fast, don't pray, don't give to the needy. So let me again tell you what He says. When you fast, oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to fast. Yeah, when you fast, don't be like a hypocrite. When you pray, oh, I'm supposed to pray. Yeah, when you pray, don't be a hypocrite and want to be seen by everybody else. When you give to the needy, don't sound a trumpet before you. There is a huge difference there, right? He's not saying, don't fast, don't pray, don't give to the needy. He's saying, when you do these things, don't do them as the hypocrites do, where they only want to be seen by others. And that is a huge difference. Now, what is Jesus really telling us here? What He is really telling us is that He knows our weaknesses. He knows, okay? Here's something, you probably heard this before, an old saying. There's two reasons why you and I do the things we do. The first reason is the real reason we do them. And the second reason is the reason we'll tell everybody why we're doing it, okay? And that's pretty much anything you do, you think about that. There's the real reason you're doing it and then the reason you want to think you're doing it. Okay, so Jesus knows that. And He knows, and this is why He's giving us this warning. He says, beware of doing it like the hypocrites. That, if you look at the gospel, that's how it started. Beware of doing it like the hypocrites. So beware of this. He knows that we will be tempted to do things only to get praise of other people. So He knows that if I fast, I'm going to be tempted to look around and say, oh, is everybody seeing me fasting? And when I pray, I'm going to look around and say, did you see? You know, I was praying every morning this week. So he knows that. And he says, beware of that. When you do, don't be as the hypocrites, because they receive their reward. Once you get the praise of other people, that's your reward. That's it. But he says there's a much greater reward than that. It's your Father in heaven. The point of prayer and fasting and giving to the needy is so that our hearts would be turned away from ourselves and turned to our Father in heaven. And that is a good and wonderful thing. That's the whole point of Lent, right? That's why we would do these things. That's why Christians have been doing them for a thousand years, is so that God would turn our hearts away from these worldly things that are just empty and turn our hearts to our Father in heaven. When we fast, who are we reminded of? Our Savior Jesus, who fasted for us, who fasted for 40 days in the wilderness and defeated our enemy, the devil. When we pray, who are we reminded of? Our Savior Jesus, who said to pray with him, who taught us to pray our Father, who prayed constantly during his ministry. When we give to the needy, who are we reminded of? Jesus, who gave his entire life to us needy beggars. That's how, when we do these things, our hearts are turned to our Father who loves us. And now I'm going to take you to the Old Testament reading, which is incredible reading. In Joel, it says, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. That's the theme of all of Lent. Yet even now, return to me. Okay, here's part of our issue with repentance, is that we kind of think of it as a one-time thing. You know, like if I have a sin, I'm going to repent of it and then I'm done with it. That's kind of how we think of it. I got another sin over here, I'm going to repent of that and then I'm done with that. But that's not repentance. Repentance is always, again and again and again, turning to our Father. Okay, so we're going to sin over and over again. Might be same sins, might be different sins. And God says, yet even now, return to me with all your heart. Again and again and again. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Could there be any greater words than that? Return to the Lord, he is gracious and loves you. So some of you may be burdened with certain things tonight. You may be burdened with a certain sin that you cannot get rid of. So hear God tonight. Yet even now, even if you've repented of that same sin hundreds of times, even if it is killing your conscience, yet even now, return to me with all your heart. I'm gracious, I'm merciful, I'm slow to anger, I'm abounding in steadfast love. Okay, some of you may be struggling with loneliness, right? Anger at God. God says, yet even now, even in the moment where you're having a hard time trusting and believing in him, yet even now, return to me. I'm gracious, I'm merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That's why we do the ashes. Okay, the ashes are a sign that we are turning, right? Because ashes, of course, everything burned to the ground, right? That's what ashes are. And it's a sign that everything that we hold dear in this world is all ashes. So we turn to our Father. We turn to his grace, his mercy, his love. And why the cross? Because that's where he's merciful. That's where he's shown us his love by giving us his own Son. Now I want to get a little more practical for you tonight. This is kind of be the final part of the sermon. I want to give you a little more practical thing. How do we turn to the Lord? The first and foremost thing of turning to the Lord is simply listening to his word. It is so simple. Part of that is just being in church as you are here. We turn our hearts to the Lord and listen to what he says. And Lent, of course, what do we do in Lent? We have church more often. Come to the midweek services, right? We're going to have preachers from our circuit. Doesn't matter who's preaching. Come because you can hear God's word. And he will turn your heart back to him again every time you are hearing his word. But there's other things, okay? There's a lot besides just church. This is where I'm going to come back to these things that Christians have been doing for years and years: fasting, prayer, and giving to the needy. And they've fallen out a little bit, but I'm going to challenge you a little, encourage you a little, okay? To try something this Lenten season, to try something you haven't done before. It can be the smallest of things, but something out of the ordinary, something maybe you've tried but you just have a hard time keeping up with it, but try something out of the ordinary so that this Lent, the Father can turn your heart to him again. So, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do first of all. What I am going to do, and I'm going to make a promise to all of you, you can hold me to it, that for the 40 days of Lent, I am going to pray for every single one of you every single day. I'm going to go through our church directory every day, started today, and I'm telling you, not so that, of course, I can be a hypocrite and say, look what I'm doing, but so that I'll do it. That's the whole thing. You know, if I don't tell anybody, what's going to happen? I'm not going to do it. Part of my job as a pastor is to pray for the congregation, and I do it, but I'm sporadic, I struggle, I'm weak. So this is my Lenten discipline for these 40 days. I'm going to pray every day for every single one of you. Okay, and you can hold me to it or ask me how I'm doing. That would be great. But now I'm going to then challenge you. If you don't do something, that's perfectly fine. You know, it may not be the right time for you, may not be the right year, I understand, and you're not a bad Christian. However, you might find something, and I'm going to give you some suggestions, easy things. Fasting, okay? When we think of fasting, we think, oh, I can't eat anything, but it's not really that at all. Fasting can be all kinds of things. It really amounts to you give up something. Give up something for Lent, you know? Give up TV, maybe. Give up Facebook. Give up pop. Give up desserts, right? Give something up, and the time you would have spent doing that, turn your heart to the Lord. Use that time for prayer. Or maybe the money you would have spent on, give up going out to eat or something. Take that money, give it to the needy. And you'll see, the Father will use that to turn your heart to Him. Devotions is another good thing. If you struggle like I do, like all of us do, to read God's Word every day, here's 40 days, right? Set that aside and say, I'm going to do that each day. You can read a chapter from Matthew, Mark, Luke, you know, do that kind of thing. You can do the portals of prayer. They have readings, but that might be your Lenten discipline. Say, for 40 days, I'm going to do it. Okay? Or it might be even something simpler. If you say, I know I'm going to fail at that, I don't have time, then commit to this. Say the Lord's Prayer every day for 40 days. Most of us struggle to do that. And I think you will see an incredible blessing just from that. Just from every day, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer and see how the Lord turns your heart to Him. And finally, one more thing about this is you need to tell somebody. You need to tell somebody what you're going to do. So I'll offer it to you. Any of you are more than welcome to tell me. I'd be glad to hear what you're going to do. But you can tell your spouse, your kids, your parents. But tell somebody what you're going to do for Lent. And again, I'm going to say, if you don't do it, you're not a bad Christian. Not at all. Okay? May not be the right time. There might be different things going on for you. You say, no, I can't do this right. That's perfectly fine. But a lot of you probably can. I think you'll be very blessed by this. Finally, one last thing. We all are going to turn our hearts, because right here, God comes to us in His sacrament again. And I want to take you, finally, the last words of the gospel reading. Jesus says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Our treasure is Jesus. And what a great thing that tonight He comes to us and we bring our hearts to Him and we say, here's my heart, Lord, turn my heart to You. And Christ gives us forgiveness of all our sins in His body and blood. Right here He comes to turn our hearts to Him again. So return to the Lord. He's gracious, He is merciful, He's slow to anger, He's always abounding in steadfast love. In Jesus' name, amen.